views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
It's 11:03 a.m. I'm Angel Fall. This is Victims to Victorious, and we're broadcasting live on Black Talk Radio Network. We've got a really good show for you. Some interesting things have happened over the weekend and last week. And I want to thank my sound engineer and founder of Black Talk Radio Network, Scotty Reed, for providing me with this clip that everybody's talking about from Beto O'Rourke in the last debate discussing taking people's assault rifles away. Scotty, can you cue it up for me?
So just to underline it, it will be voluntary. It won't be, hell yes, we'll come get your guns.
It's not voluntary. I want to make sure that we make the distinction here. It is mandatory. It will be the law. You will be required to comply with the law.
Former Texas congressman this morning, not mincing words when it comes to what an O'Rourke administration would look like for owners of assault weapons, clarifying one of the more memorable moments from last night. Here's that moment.
If it's a weapon that was designed to kill people on a battlefield, if the high-impact, high-velocity round, when it hits your body, shreds everything inside of your body because it was designed to do that so that you would bleed to death on a battlefield and not be able to get up and kill one of our soldiers. When we see that being used against children, and in Odessa, I met the mother of a 15-year-old girl who was shot by an AR-15. Mm-hmm. And that mother watched her bleed to death over the course of an hour because so many other people were shot by that AR-15 in Odessa and Midland. There weren't enough ambulances to get to them in time. Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
To many, that was the moment of the night.
Okay, thanks for that clip from the debate. I am going to begin by giving a little bit of a background on the person speaking, Beto O'Rourke, and his campaign. He is the U.S. Representative for Texas, 16th Congressional District. He represented them from 2013 to 2019. My source here is Wikipedia. In March, March of this year, he announced his running for president. Beto O'Rourke had previously attracted national attention for his unsuccessful campaign against Ted Cruz. Of course, Ted Cruz is very controversial. His citizenship has been in question. But Ted Cruz has been out here for a while. But Beto O'Rourke gained prominence on the national stage for, in fact, challenging Senator Ted Cruz. And now that he's running, now that we're having all these discussions about gun control, it's very refreshing to see a Democrat come out and say something that probably the other Republicans are a little bit frightened to say. So in the clip from the debate, he says it's mandatory to turn in your assault rifles. I want to go back a little bit. We'd like to give some background, let people understand how we're discussing things and what you can contribute to the conversation if you choose to call in. So America, according to the trace.org, there are an estimated 10 million, I'm going to repeat that, 10 million AR-15 style rifles in the U.S. Within a bigger total of over 300 million firearms are owned by Americans. Previous broadcasts, I'm sure you've heard me say there are more guns in America than human beings. So what exactly is an AR-15 style rifle? We did do a little bit of discussing about that last week, but I'm going to review it for new listeners. An AR-15 is a lightweight semi-automatic rifle based on the Armalite AR-15 design. The original design dates back to 1959, and that was the Colt Manufacturing Company. I used to live in Connecticut. The factory was still up and running, and they also had an abandoned one that was haunted. That's another TV show. After the term modern sporting rifles was coined in 2009 by the National Shooting Sports Foundation, this expanded the marketplace for it. And many people who like it say it's one of the best rifles out there. It's semi-automatic, so what does that mean? That means, obviously, that you don't have to load each bullet. It's self-loading. In the previous show, we talked about the etymology of bullets, from being rocks to metal round objects to gunpowder being hand-loaded in bullets during the Civil War and the Revolutionary War. So there are millions and millions of guns in America.
Angel,
over 300. Yes, go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead, Scotty.
Good morning to the listeners, and of course, good morning to you, Angel.
Thanks.
Very, very timely topic, considering, as you mentioned, what has been going on here recently, especially with the DNC debates. But I think it's important to add to the definition, because there is some confusion about AR-15s and these assault rifles that sold today. I've never handled an AR-15, but it is very similar to the M16, which I'm very much familiar with during my time in the military. The only difference between that M16 and an AR-15 is a M16 has several settings. There's automatic, fully automatic. That means I pull the trigger and it fires. It keeps firing until I stop pulling the trigger. Then it has a 3-round burst setting. And just as I said, 3 rounds. You pull the trigger one time, 3 rounds come out. And then the single fire setting. The AR-15 is a single fire setting, meaning that you have to pull the trigger to fire each time. And I also thought, I don't give Trump credit on anything really, but I think we do have to give him credit on banning the bump stocks, which turn those into simulate fully automatic weapons. That's what the Las Vegas shooter had. Just wanted to share that.
Well, I really appreciate that. I always want people to call in who have more expertise in these areas, and that is indeed part of the confusion when people say assault weapons, because assault weapons can be modified, and people know that there are different versions of the same types of guns, and even as you explained, the bump, is that the bump loader that keeps it firing, that modifies it from semi-automatic to automatic? Is that right, Scotty?
Yes, that's correct. The bump fire is what the Las Vegas shooter who killed and injured hundreds at that concert by shooting from that hotel. The bump stock is a modification. It's a what's the best way to put this? It's an accessory that you attach to the butt of the rifle and the trigger, and then you only have to pull the trigger one time, and the bump stock uses the energy of the weapon, because, you know, when you fire a weapon, it's going to have a kick to it. So if you got a bump stock attached to the stock, then when it kicks, it's going to take that energy and push it back to, again, simulate, you know, automatic gunfire. I hope I wasn't too confusing on that.
No, you provided me with clarity, and I want to remind the listeners that you're referencing the worst mass, well, I believe it's still the worst mass shooting. The deadliest mass shooting in America occurred on October 1st, 2017 in Las Vegas. A man opened fire on a crowd of concert goers at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival on the Strip in Las Vegas. He killed 58 people and wounded 422, and injuring, they said the total of the injuries, because of course there was a trampling effect, was 851. So 422 people were shot, 58 were killed, and the injury total was 851. I'm declining to give his name. I know when the event is, well, I have given mass shooters names before. However, I'm declining to give his name this time. So 422 people were injured by direct gunfire because he had modified the weapon, as Scotty has explained, and there were 851 people injured and 58 people killed. If you just tuned in, we are discussing the ban of assault rifles. Presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke said in the debate that he actually wants you to surrender them or they will be confiscated. This has become very controversial. If you follow me on Twitter, on Air Angel, I have a few links to some of the backlash and even some of the direct threats, and this type of language about violence can get violent, this kind of rhetoric. And he explains very well in the clip that Scotty provided us the way the bullets work and why they're designed and why they're called assault weapons. The idea that he puts forth is that once the person is shot on the battlefield, he or she cannot live long enough to fire again. And therefore, the bullets are, and that number of bullets are designed to really destroy human beings quickly and as many people as possible. We are discussing the AR-15 style rifle. There are over 300 million guns in America. And Trace.org estimates that there are maybe 10 million AR-15 rifles in existence in the United States of America. So I want to go back to the 1994 listing of the... Yes.
Angel, before you do so, let me provide you again with some expertise on the type of rounds that he's talking about. So again, the AR-15 is basically meant to simulate what soldiers carry. The only difference, again, being that they're single fire instead of rapid fire. But like Angel correctly stated, these weapons can be modified to simulate what soldiers actually carry on the battlefield. The type of rounds he's talking about, I remember this clearly from basic training when I first went in the military. And we were being familiarized with the M16. Okay, what they did was took a metal box, a metal ammo box, and then fired at the metal box, and then showed us the result of that. What you'll have is a very tiny, small entry wound, just a little tiny hole, but once it goes in, it starts tumbling around. It's designed to just tear up all your organs, and it'll blow a big hole out the back. The exit wound will be a very, very large hole. which is what he's referring to, that it's likely you're going to bleed out before you can get in any type of help. Now, the difference between that type of round and a round that's made for hunting, like, say, deer, you know, which I eat deer and hunt deer, but the difference in the round is those rounds are not designed to tear up the body like that, because you don't want your meat. If you're hunting, you don't want your meat all ripped to shreds and what have you. So that's the difference in the rounds.
Okay. So I really appreciate that clarification for me and for some of the listeners who may not have that type of expertise that you have. And of course, O'Rourke described, you know, without being too graphic, he certainly described a mother watching her child bleed to death because of the type of round the shooter used in Texas. It's a little bit after, it's 11:17. We have less than 45 minutes to go. I want to thank my sound engineer, Scotty Reed, who is a former military person who is familiar with weapons, for giving us some more insight into the discussion. If you wish to join the live discussion, you can call 704-802-5056. Follow me on Twitter, On Air Angel. We're broadcasting from the Black Talk Radio Network. Going back to this relationship between mass shootings and assault weapons, Scotty provided us with a description of the way the Las Vegas shooter had modified the weapon, and therefore he was able, one person was able to injure, or is responsible for injuring 851 people, shooting approximately 422 directly. Now, there is a direct correlation between the ban in 1994 of assault weapons ban for civilian use and the number of mass shootings using those types of weapons. To review, the federal assault weapons ban of 1994 made the manufacturer and civilian use of defined set of automatic and semi-automatic weapons, that was what Scotty referenced, and large capacity magazines illegal. I have got my information from NCBI.NLM.NIH.gov, and that's where we're getting this data from. It's a bigger article if you want to go to it, or send me a direct message on Twitter. I'll send it to you directly. So in 2004, the ban expired. So this article takes a look at mass shootings with assault weapons when the ban was in place. Again, the ban expired in 2004, and when the ban was lifted. So we compared, I'm reading from the article directly, the authors are DiMaggio, Abraham J., Barry C., Burkhar M., et al. Assault rifles accounted for 430, or 85.8% of the total mass shooting fatalities. Because they're scientists, they report what's called a 95% confidence interval, meaning they're accurate. There may be some accuracies that account for a 5% discrepancy. Assault rifles in this particular research were used most of the time in 44 mass shooting incidents. Mass shootings in the United States accounted for an increasing proportion of all firearm-related homicides. What that means is when a mass shooting occurs, it bumps up the number of homicides, because most homicides, and we began this whole series with talking about African-American males killing each other in large urban areas, most of them are one-to-one killings. So if there are, it's arithmetic, unfortunately. If there are normally one or two people shot in your particular area every other day, a mass shooting might change the rate for the month or the year significantly. So returning to the article, changes in U.S. mass shooting deaths associated with the 1994 to 2004 federal assault weapons ban, analysis of open source data. So assault rifles accounted for 430, or 85.8% of the total 501 501 mass shootings at the time that this article was publicized. So there is a direct relationship between the assault rifle ban being lifted and the number of mass shootings that have occurred in the United States of America. 70% mass shooting fatalities were 70% less likely to occur during the federal ban period. So for those people who are arguing that there isn't a link, of course there is. You need not be a social researcher to know this. You need not be an emergency room doctor. Just in the last 60 days, we have all experienced hearing, seeing, or even, God forbid, knowing someone who has been victimized. So when O'Rourke calls for this, he has a lot of data backing him up. The ban expired in 2004, and there is a direct link between the number of mass shootings. And as Scotty Reed, my engineer, chimed in, the type of rounds that these weapons are using. So there's damage two ways. They're shooting three ways. They're shooting more people at once, more people faster, and then once the round enters the body, it causes more damage. So I'm going to repeat that again. The assault weapons are able to shoot more people at once. They are faster because the rounds, they are faster because you don't have to keep reloading. And then once the rounds get into your body, they do more damage. And presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke described very graphically the angst, pain, and grief of a mother who watched her child bleed to death because the ambulances were overwhelmed. If you want to join the discussion, the phone number is 704-802-5056. My name is Angel Fall, and we are broadcasting on the Black Talk Radio Network. So I also want to, Scotty brought in a little bit of this before. I still want to tighten up the definition from what is an assault weapon. Assault weapons refer to primarily semi-automatic rifles, pistols, and shotguns that are able to accept detachable magazines and possess one or more other features. Some jurisdictions define revolving cylinder shotguns as assault weapons. And I'm also getting that from Wikipedia. And so what constitutes an assault rifle has been some of the debate. But Beto O'Rourke clearly names AR-15s and AK-47s. He names them. We discussed so far what has happened since the assault weapon was banned 15 years ago. So many people want the ban to be reinstated. They want Congress, they want the United States government to say, hey, let's go back to banning the assault weapons. Let's go back to that. Would you like them banned? Let me know, 704-802-5056. So I'm going to read a little bit from The Hill about the assault weapons ban. 25 years ago, on September 13, 1994, Washington responded to the scourge of gun violence in its time by passing and signing the Public Safety and Recreational Firearms Protection Act. If you're on the internet, you can follow me, go to The Hill. And the title of the article is called Assault Weapons Ban Expired 15 Years Ago, Time to Bring It Back. You can't get to it, you can send me a direct message on Air Angel, and I will send it to you directly. So going back to the article, we're discussing the Public Safety and Recreational Firearms Protection Act, which almost 25 years ago, September 13th, Washington responded in September 13th of 1994. So it's better known as the assault weapons ban. and it was spurred into action by a playground shooting that killed 5 children and injured 30 others in a flash attack of 100 rounds of ammunition in just 60 seconds. So that's what I was talking about earlier. The number of people that you can shoot in such a short period of time. And this is why presidential candidate O'Rourke is talking about these are battlefield weapons. These are weapons of war and destruction. The ban passed, returning to the article, because of a principled politicians willing to put the lives of Americans over the wishes of the gun lobby. The gun lobby, the NRA, is notoriously strong and manipulative here in the United States of America. I feel free in expressing that because they have constantly resisted things that seem to make common sense with convoluted explanations of why they don't make common sense. To the surprise of no one, the writer says, the NRA fought tooth and nail against the assault weapons ban, promising to exact retaliation from any member of Congress who dared to support it. Weeks before the vote on the bill, the NRA's threat, remember I said, the discussion of gun violence can be violent and threatening. The NRA's threats look likely to derail the bill, but just 3 days prior to the vote, longtime NRA ally and conservative standard bearer President Reagan, joined by Presidents Ford and Carter, urged House members to back the ban. Their display of bipartisanship, now that's the writer, we need more bipartisanship now, and patriotism joined with the support of 77% of Americans. Helped carry the bill to a slim victory in the House. It was passed by a vote of 216 to 214. I am reading an article from The Hill. Assault weapons ban expired 15 years ago. Time to bring it back. That is the title of the article. The contributors are Robert Carter and Nathan Kassai. And the article was actually published a couple days ago, September 13th on The Hill. So that's a little bit more about, I'm going to give you a little bit more about the ban and what it banned. We were discussing AR-15s and AK-47s, and here's what the article says. With the passage of the ban, it became unlawful to manufacture, transfer, or possess most semi-automatic weapons. This new law also prohibited the transfer or possession of large capacity ammunition magazines. In total, it outlawed 19 types of military grade assault weapons, including AR-15s, AR-14s, Uzis, and Tech-9s. I'm going to repeat that. There are 19 that it had banned, but including AR-15s, AK-47s, which Beto O'Rourke referred to in the piece at the beginning from CNN, Uzis, and Tech-9s. And these restrictions had real results. While the ban remained federal law, assault weapon and high-capacity magazines used in crime dramatically decreased. And most importantly, mass shooting-related deaths fell by a staggering 70%. And of course, I began the segment discussing the fact that once the ban was lifted, we see an increase. And in scientific study, social research, that's called a direct relationship. Returning to the article on The Hill, they are saying the results for America were an unmitigated disaster. Since 2004, the number of mass shootings has ballooned by 180%, and in the number of deaths in mass shootings rocketed up by 239%. And it names places, Las Vegas, Orlando, Sandy Hook, Sutherland Spring. Assault rifles and high-capacity magazines were the horrific tools of choice in 4 of America's 5 deadliest mass shootings. And just in the past few months alone, this article came out on September 13th, returning to the article, and just in the past few months alone, these weapons of war have brought unspeakable tragedy to El Paso, Texas, Dayton, and most recently Odessa, Texas. At this point, we have almost as many mass shootings annually as we have days in the year. Actually, I'm going to disagree with that. I did a show a few weeks ago where we actually have more shootings than days of the year, but it depends on how he's counting. This article, Robert Cotter is a social policy and politics fellow at Third Way. And when people write articles, I urge the listeners, type in their name in the search engine or the article, and you can often interact with them. Tell them what you think. Tell them what you like about the article. Robert Cotter is a social policy and politics fellow at Third Way, and Nathan Kasai is the senior policy counsel for the social policy and politics program at Third Way. And I am reading from their article published on September 13th of this year. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network. I want you to stay tuned. We're going to do a station ID, and I'll be back after this quick break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
It's 11:32 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. My name is Angel Fall. You are listening to Victims to Victorious on the Black Talk Radio Network. My sound engineer is Scotty Reed. If you wish to call in, you can. It's 704-802-5056. And I'm going to talk about what rounds are. So the standard magazine capacity is 30 rounds. There is also 10, 20, and a 40-round box magazine, as well as 75-round drum magazines. The AK-47 standard 30-round magazine has a pronounced curve that allows them to smoothly feed ammunition into the chamber. So that's a little bit of a discussion about rounds. How many rounds can an AK-47 fire? At full cyclic rate, they can fire about 600 rounds per minute, up to 640 rounds per minute for the AKM, with a practical rate of about 100 rounds per minute fully automatic, or 40 rounds per minute semi-automatic. But the AK and AKM can mount a grenade launcher. What caliber is an AK-47? Someone might be asking. How many rounds? These are some of the technical questions that we are dealing with. Please call in and let us know if you have more technical expertise than I am. I'm relying on data that's published online and descriptions that are online. So some of you might also wonder, well, why is an AK-47 so popular? And really, that is a question that people who want to keep them have been asked. Are you planning to do a mass shooting? Scotty, our sound engineer, said you're not going to use those type of rounds, that the battlefield type rounds, when you're hunting, because they tear through the tissue and they destroy the meat. So military-grade weaponry is another description of what we're discussing here. Military-grade weapons and banning assault weapons. So many people who don't want guns banned are really paranoid about the U.S. Marshals coming into their homes and removing all guns. Now, presidential candidate O'Rourke was specific to assault weapons, and we have discussed that there can be a slight difference in how things are named, and whether or not something technically meets the standard, how it's been modified. So let's take a look at the deadliest mass shooting using those types of weapons. We are going to revisit it. Prayers to any family members who might be listening, because one of the fallouts of gun violence is that people are wounded, and of course people have PTSD. The mass shooting in Texas occurred almost 2 years ago. the shooter was the shooter was in the Mandalay Bay Hotel on the 32nd floor. This time I will name him. His name is Stephen Pata. He checked into the Mandalay Bay on September 25th, and he only lived approximately 70 minutes away. He did not draw any attention by the staff from the staff members, but he is responsible, for shooting into a crowd of concert goers with these type of weapons that we discussed. He was able to injure over 800 people with these weapons, and he actually killed 58 people. Fortunately, there was a guard in the hotel who did alert police to some of his suspicious behavior. I'm not going to go all into it. However, because of the caliber of the weapons, the type of rounds, and his position in the hotel, he was an active shooter who was able to kill 58 people. 58 people. If you go to, if you're following me online, ABC News actually has a photograph of the hotel room where some of his guns, he had several weapons, where they were found. I'm reading from the article. The suite was littered with more than 1,000 spent gun shell casings and an arsenal of weapons. Some were still found lying on the bed. That's what I'm looking. Some were still found lying on the beds. And on the floor, there were weapons stacked in the bathroom. And in total, police seized 24 guns from his room, including AR-15 and AR-10 assault rifles with armor-piercing bullets. Some of the weapons had been altered with bump stocks. Scotty mentioned that earlier, bump stocks were used by the Las Vegas shooter to alter the number of rounds, if I'm not mistaken, and how quickly he could continue. He could basically just continue shooting and shooting and shooting. Since then, the Mandalay Bay Hotel has instituted new security measures, including using canine units to conduct random checks of luggage. I don't know that dogs can smell bullets. I'm pretty sure dogs probably can smell gunpowder, though, but I'm not so sure what that means. 58 people, that remains the largest number of people killed at once in a hotel shooting. Now, the security measures taken by the Mandalay Hotel, I mean, they sound reasonable, but presidential candidate He wants to actually ban these type of weapons. Had the shooter not been able to get these high magazines and these rounds, what kind of damage would he have actually been able to do? I think a reasonable person believes that he would not have been able to do much. But the high-capacity magazines really enabled him to injure over 420 people. Some people believe high-capacity magazines should not be banned. So I'd like to hear from you. Of course, if you can't call in, you can listen to our podcast and download it on blacktalkradionetwork.com when it's uploaded. The show is called V2V. In the icon will say, the logo will say V2V. The name out is Victims to Victorious. I'm Angel Fall, and we have about 20 minutes left. Why do some people want high capacity magazines banned? We just discussed mass shootings, the number of people who can be killed. For instance, the majority of states, however, do not ban or regulate any magazines on the basis of capacity. 42 states do not ban magazines based on capacity. States that do not have large capacity magazines or restrictions typically do not apply to firearms with fixed magazines, whose capacity would otherwise exceed the large capacity threshold. So which states limit magazine capacity? 9 states and the District of Columbia have enacted laws banning large capacity ammunition magazines. California, Colorado, Connecticut, Hawaii, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, and Vermont. And all of these jurisdictions except Colorado and Vermont also still currently ban assault weapons. If you are in one of those states that has enacted laws banning large capacity ammunition magazines, I'll read them again. California, Colorado, Connecticut, Hawaii, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, and Vermont. You can hit me up on Twitter, on Air Angel, or you can call into the show and let us know. After 12 noon, sometime in the early afternoon. Also, you can leave a comment on the Black Talk Radio Network page of mine, blacktalkradionetwork.com. Look for Victims to Victorious. So let's talk about the AR-15 that presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke mentioned. I'm having trouble pronouncing his name. The Surefire high-capacity magazine for 5.56x45mm .223 Remington ammunition, also available in a 60-round version. It's also compatible with M4, M16, and the AR-15 variants. Scotty, could you just clarify that a little bit? Because I am reading, and I'm not sure I have pronounced and explained that correctly.
What would you like me to clarify again?
I'm asking the listeners, or explain to the listeners, what is the largest capacity for an AR-15? And the article that I have says that the Surefire High Capacity Magazine, I don't understand what 5.56x45mm means.
They're talking about the type of round. Yeah.
Okay.
The millimeters refer to the type of round. Like, for example, an AK-47 uses a 7.62 millimeter round. The M16, I cannot recall right now, but I believe it's also a 5 point whatever you just stated.
Yes, the article uses the acronym M and then the number 16.
Yes. Okay. So that's the type of round, and when we're talking about the damage that it's able to do, we're talking about high velocity. You know, right now you're talking about magazines, high capacity. When you're talking about rounds made for the battlefield and not hunting, we're talking about a bullet that travels faster because it's going at a higher velocity. It's spinning that fast.
And I want to thank you again for this technical clarification. I began this series of shows discussing some of the public health solutions, and I'm learning too as a listener. I totally am steeped in the epidemiological language. Now I'm learning more about the technical language. So it's not just that somebody is hit by a bullet, they're hit with high capacity rounds. And Scotty is explaining more of this to me, and I'm sure some of the listeners have more knowledge because you're actually firing the weapons, you own the weapons. But we just discussed many states, nine states actually ban this type of ammunition, and one of them was Connecticut. Thank you again, Scotty. I may call on your expertise again. I mentioned that Connecticut is one of the states that bans this type of ammunition, and this goes directly to the Sandy Hook shooting on December 4th, 2012. I actually was living in Connecticut at that time. I'm using a little bit of personal disclosure, and the only Black Puerto Rican girl who was killed at the Sandy Hook Elementary School was eulogized at my church. So Adam Lanza took to the Sandy Hook Elementary School Ishmael Seaga, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, 12-gauge semi-automatic shotgun, a Bushmaster model caliber semi-automatic rifle, a Glock 20, which was has 10 mm semi-automatic handgun, a Sig Sauer P22 9mm semi-automatic handgun. What's interesting here is he took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He took 5 weapons to the school. And we're discussing high capacity and semi-automatic guns. He took 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 semi-automatic guns. Semi-automatics can be handguns, shotguns, or rifles. He had all of those. Those of you who may not remember the Sandy Hook shooting, and even in the public reporting, many of the reports leave out the fact that the first white female victim is actually his mother. He kills her before she goes to the school, and before he goes to the school. And ironically, all of the guns had been purchased by her, and her name was Nancy Lenz. On previous shows, we talked about straw purchasing, and you see why people are against that. She bought these guns for someone who was already known to be mentally ill. Found in the home was a Savage Mark II bolt action rifle, 22 caliber, an Enfield Albion bolt action rifle, .323 caliber, and a Volcanic .22 caliber starter pistol. The magazines that he took to Sandy Hook Elementary School, 2 12 gauge shotgun magazines, 10 30 round 223 magazines, 6 30 round 9mm magazines, and 6 30 round millimeter magazines. There was way more found in his home. There's a list. You can look at it if you would like to be more informed about this.
Yes. Yeah, let me just say something about give people an idea of just how armed he was. So, you know, I was in the Gulf War. I wasn't on the front lines. I was in a support position. I was communications, but I was still in a war zone. So, of course, when I had to travel to different communication sites for whatever reason, I was issued live rounds. Each of us, you know, it will usually just be 2 of us, but we will be issued some rounds to go with our M16. You know how many rounds was the standard issue?
I'm guessing you didn't have as much as Adam Lanza.
1 30-round magazine. One.
So he had he had 10 30-round magazines when he got to the school. He had 10. That's a really good perspective, Scotty. This is why, and Scotty Reed, our sound engineer, has been a member of the military and is a gun enthusiast. He's helping me today on he helps me every day on the technical part of the show, and today he's lending his expertise on this discussion of ammunition, rounds, semi-automatic, and the caliber of the weapons. So Adam Lanza, the Sandy Hook killer, was armed as if he is beyond battlefield, even, we're going to say here, with the number of weapons that his mother purchased for him. And, of course, we know that he decimated the Sandy Hook Elementary School. The state of Connecticut, shortly after this mass shooting on December 14th, 2012, began to look at how many rounds people can have, the quantity of guns, the quantity of ammunition, all of this they began to look at shortly after, and they were able to change the law. I began the discussion with the fact that Connecticut banned the high capacity ammunition. Excuse me. Connecticut banned the high capacity ammunition shortly after the shooting. Now here's some more of the Connecticut law. It's one of the strongest states in terms of gun legislation, and the Gifford Center writes about that. Connecticut, of course, was the we were discussing. If you just tuned in, we were discussing the number of magazines and weapons that the shooter at Sandy Hook had when the police found him at the school, and when they went to his house, and of course they discovered that his first victim was his mother. We have about 9 minutes to go, and you are listening to Victims to Victorious. My name is Angel Fall. We're broadcasting on the Black Talk Radio Network, and I'm going to give you a little bit about the background of Connecticut's assault weapons ban and their legislation against ammunition quantities and types of ammunition. Let's see. On April 1st, 2013, Connecticut lawmakers announced a deal on what they called some of the toughest gun laws in the country. Now, the date of the shooting was December of 2012. So you see they got busy in a few months. This, the legislation, not only did call for background checks for private gun sales, which we discussed earlier, most states don't enforce that or call for that at all. The package also created what state lawmakers said the nation's first, the Sandy Hook shooting is what inspired the legislation in Connecticut. So some of the law, you know, when people pass laws, they have different pieces to them. So the new legislation included a ban on new high-capacity ammunition magazines, although magazines lawfully owned prior to the ban may be kept. And of course, this speaks to the superly paranoid NRA-funded and NRA-hoodwinked, if you will, people who say the government is going to come and forcibly remove all your guns. Again, in Connecticut, after the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting, a law was passed that banned new high-capacity ammunition magazines. But if you already had a magazine lawfully that you owned, you could keep it. The proposal also called for background checks for private gun sales and a new registry for existing magazines that carry more than 10 bullets. The package also created what state lawmakers said was the nation's first statewide dangerous weapon offendery registry with immediate universal background checks for all sales, firearm sales, and an expansion of Connecticut's already in place assault weapons ban. On April 3rd, the state Senate followed shortly thereafter at midnight. On April 4th, the state House approved a bipartisan gun control legislation that would be the toughest in the United States. Again, I want the listeners to realize that this happened. The Sandy Hook massacre occurs in December of 2012. And by April of 2013, the law has changed. Most of the country is not moving this fast. In fact, we have seen a trend of many gun laws being loosened. And I began the show about the assault weapons ban, the national one expiring really in 2004. That's long enough for legislation to have been reenacted or reinstated against it. But instead, we're still in a debate that's funded by people who want you to believe that you need these kind of weapons when you don't, okay? We have about 5 minutes to go. My name is Angel Fall, and we are discussing high magazines. We're discussing a ban, reinstating the ban on assault weapons. We've been discussing the damage that assault weapons do. One of the states that has the strongest laws against assault weapons is the state of Connecticut. And also Connecticut goes and it defines assault weapons. Connecticut has bans, and I am reading from the Wikipedia article. Connecticut has bans on defined assault weapons, which includes selective fire firearms unless they were purchased before October 1st, 1993, and a limited list of semi-automatic ARAK and SKC variants. Magazines holding more than 10 rounds are considered large capacity magazines and are prohibited, with grandfathering for those possessed prior to April 4, 2013. That date is the date that they actually enact the legislation. Our sound engineer, Scotty, talked about the capacity of magazines and the number of rounds. That's what we're discussing here, and the type of weapon. On April 4, 2013, Governor Malloy, that we're still discussing, Connecticut, signed a comprehensive gun control bill that expands the scope of the assault weapon ban by reducing the number of defined features from 2 to 1 while adding 100 specific firearms to the existing assault weapons ban list. Such weapons that were lawfully owned prior to the enactment of the law are grandfathered but must be registered with the DESPP. Exceptions to the ban also exist for law enforcement and military members, but these weapons too must be registered. The transfer of registered assault weapons is generally not permitted except in cases where the original owner becomes deceased, in which case the weapons may be transferred through inheritance to a designated heir. Additionally, registered assault weapons may be transferred to the state police or local police department, a licensed firearm dealer, or to a recipient outside of Connecticut, assuming that the federal law and laws of that state allow it. So all of these are serious, serious laws that are proposed, not only proposed, I'm sorry, were proposed after Adam Lanza shot up the children at Sandy Hook with those high caliber and all those rounds he showed up with the school, at the school with. So if you are in a state, there are only 9 states that ban high capacity ammunition. If you're in one of those states that doesn't ban it, I'm urging my listeners to be advocates and say, why is this allowed in our state? Create a movement of banning the assault weapons. There are 50 states, and only 9 states ban this type of weaponry, including the high capacity magazines. So if you are in one of those states, write your governor, tweet about it even. Let me know if you are going to, if you are interested in having your state do this. We began the show with a presidential candidate making it the federal law because, of course, there was a federal ban against assault weapons until the year 2004. I don't believe we're helpless. I believe there are micro solutions to this macro problem. I believe that there are solutions to all type of epidemics, but the gun violence ones, we need an immediate solution, but it is multi-pronged. So vote for people in your district, in your state, who want gun control. Say, don't give your vote to people who do not want this. This is a public problem. This is a national epidemic. Let's solve it. Follow me on Twitter. I'm On Air Angel. You've been listening to Victims to Victorious. This is the Black Talk Radio Network. My sound engineer is Scotty Reed. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.